Welcome in to episode 169 of the Godly Young Man Podcast. Today we are discussing a difficult topic that has absolutely been in the news. It's dominated the news last year, actually, and recently, especially in the lighting the sports world on fire, which has been a sad story, but also very interesting to follow. We're going to get to that in a moment. Before we do, a couple announcements. Obviously, like, comment, subscribe to all of those things.
It really does help. YouTube, Spotify, even Apple Podcasts,
Instagram if you too. For us, you know, we're going to start
hit that subscribe button, as they say.
That's exactly it. We're going to start posting a lot more on Instagram. That's the goal. It's been the goal for a long time, but you know, we're discussing, moving, shaking, trying to do some new things like that. One of the things we're doing is giveaways on the Discord, and so make sure to join the Discord. Ask us for the link. We'll send it to you. It should be in the
description of, on YouTube and all the podcasts. There'll be a link. You can click on it.
Perfect. So we'll add you to it, and then we have a giveaways channel that you can go to, and we're doing a. Yeah, I got to actually draw for it pretty quickly here soon, and we'll announce that on Discord. The next one will be announced on air, and so we're going to try to do these maybe a couple times a month for giveaways, just for free swag, things from our store. And so merch store will also be in the description if you're interested in buying any of that stuff.
But Will's got some cool stuff on there, so yeah,
well,
check it out.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. So, Will, I want you to kick this off because this was something I think you texted me about. We've been texting back and forth on this.
Yeah.
Crazy story. Mike Vrabel, who was the Titans coach.
He was.
Now he's the New England coach. The Patriots just went to the Super Bowl. So as a first-year coach for the Patriots.
One coach of the year. I'm pretty sure. I'm almost positive he won coach of the year.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he did win coach of the year. So what's been going on, Mike Vrabel?
Yeah, so we want to use this story as kind of a springboard to discuss a much bigger, more important topic that is really important for godly young men, and that is the idea of adultery-proofing your marriage, because the story about Mike Vrabel, again, if you're plugged into sports at all, you should be very aware of the story, specifically football. So Mike Vrabel, Diana Russini is an NFL, reporter. And to make a long story short, and then I'm going to give you the longer version of it here in a second. Basically, they have been caught on camera multiple times engaged in an extramarital affair. Yeah. Mike Vrabel has been married since 1999, has two sons, and then Diana Russini has been married since 2020. Also has two sons, one of them named Michael, interestingly enough.
Yeah,
a lot of details coming out about that that are a little interesting. But anyway, so yeah, both married to other people. Photos came out pretty much indicting them in the sense of them having an extramarital affair. Any thoughts before I give kind of the timeline here of just to give you guys an idea? Again, we're not going to spend a ton of time talking about this story in particular other than to use it as a springboard to talk about adultery proofing.
The timeline, I'll just pass it back over to you.
Yeah.
You know, the timeline is interesting. This exploded so quickly.
It did.
It was not something.
And it kept escalating.
Correct. It kept getting worse. That kind of culminated in, she named her kid what?
Yeah.
You know, like this. So the entire six-year affair, she gets married in 2020. So the entirety of her marriage, she's been having this affair is what it seems like. And she names her kid after my.
Like, there's even speculation like they need to get that kid DNA tested. Like, it's wild.
Yeah, it is
wild.
So anyway, yeah, get into the timeline because I think this helps.
Yeah, so on April 7th, there are photos that are released of the two of them, Mike Vrabel and Diana Russini, in Sedona, Arizona, at a very well-known couples-only resort. Basically a honeymoon, baby moon. Like, it's known as a place where couples go together. So photos are released of them kind of holding hands and embracing. Both sides kind of denied right away anything scandalous going on. They said they were there with a group of other people, that there were six other people there. Interestingly, nobody has really corroborated that story at all.
Right.
But that was where what they said initially. A week later, April 14th, amidst, again, this story dominated for the next week, Diana Russini resigned from her company, The Athletic, that she works for, in a very non-admitting fashion. By that, I mean she put out a statement, basically did not admit any fault, but kind of played the classic victim, talked about the attacks on her personally. It's like, well, then why did you resign? But anyway, she resigned. She stepped down. Mike Vrabel had not – nobody heard from him yet for as far as a speaking to the media. A week later, April 21st, Mike Vrabel spoke to the media for the first time, and I put on the outline, he kind of put out a nothing sandwich. Like, it was just a complete word salad. He talked about how he'd had productive conversations with people. Like, basically, again, didn't admit anything.
Right.
It was a whole bunch of nothing.
Productive conversations with his family. Like, I'm sure it's productive with your wife when she's, like, zinging plates at your head for cheating on her.
Like, what are the details
of that? I'm sure it's real productive there, buddy.
Yeah. A day later, he told ESPN he would seek counseling. A day later, on April 23rd, it got even worse because more photos came out. These were photos of the two of them, Vrabel and Russini, in a New York City bar in 2020.
From 2020.
6 years ago, and the way the timeline worked out, 6 months before Russini got married. A day after Vrabel said he was going to seek counseling for, you know, some of this. And so it's just, it's gotten worse again. There's the, what she named her son. There's been videos going around that I guess people didn't think much of at the time, but like about Diana Russini kind of dogging her husband like live on air, saying that she'd done things in Miami that her husband didn't know about. Like legitimately all this stuff was on like ESPN airwaves, like national television, and nobody really thought anything of it. And now everybody's going, okay, those are weirder than we thought initially. Well, it's just crazy
stuff.
There
were scoops she was getting at the time years ago about Mike Vrabel team. I think it may have been Tennessee at the time. And she's getting scoops and people are like, how'd you know that?
That's, like, how's she getting this information?
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. You know, you're way ahead on it. And so she's getting promoted and getting all these accolades. Yeah, she's got insider information. She's sleeping with the guy. Right. So it's like, again, it's
really sad. I mean, obviously, terrible. It goes without saying that it's really sad. Like, yeah, to hear this woman, and again, Vrabel's at fault too, but to hear her, like, just dog, or, like, trash her husband. Right. She called him average on air.
Like, run from a woman like that.
Like, you just basically said, I'm married to someone average, so I'm not going to post photos of him or something like that. Like, it, just really bad stuff. And obviously, again, both of them are married, both of them have children, and their names are now live in infamy. I don't think Vrabel's going to lose his job. Again, they just came off the Super Bowl year, had a great year.
Well, Robert Kraft is the owner, and he's got his own
right. Let's, the Patriots are known cheaters. Yeah. No problems there.
In every way.
But
every
Diana Russini, I would imagine her reporting career is probably over. She's going to find something else to do. So yeah, again, we just want to use the story as a springboard. Joe, I've got a question on here. Do you have any other thoughts on this story before we kind of get to that question that I have?
To me, it's just we talk about this in therapy, a staggered disclosure, you know, where it's like the best thing you can do is just admit to it and go, you know what, this is what happened. Get it out. Let it be known. This is what's taking place, and do all your PR that you can or whatever. Accept the consequences, take the beating, and then
that certainly would have been better than what
build your life. And instead, what comes out of this exactly is like day after day of, oh, this new thing came out, and ooh,
this photo, and this
productive conversations, and I quit, but it's not really my fault. Like, I didn't really do anything, and other people were around, and it's deny, 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 but everything is crumbling around them. Jobs are being lost, press conferences are being had. I got to go to therapy. You know, all these things, while at the same time, we can't just get to the truth of, yeah, we've been having an affair for the last 6 years, maybe longer, I don't know. But for the last 6 years, we both cheated on our spouses. We are incredibly sorry. We're going to work to make this right, you know, and we've stopped seeing each other. Like, that's the way that PR should handle it. Yeah. And instead, the whole thing has been bungled. And it has just made it from a story perspective, from the outlets or news outlets, obviously, and, you know, tabloids and such, it's been a huge deal. But from their perspective, they could have avoided a lot of this by just coming out with the truth and saying this is what's taking place. So yeah, shame on them. This reminds me of the Coldplay concert. You know, it reminds me of, and I know you're about to ask this, but I kind of want to flip it back.
No, go ahead.
You, because I'm actually really curious your thoughts on why. Because for those that don't remember, it was a huge story last year.
Enormous social media story.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
Year, yeah.
Crawl back under your rock if that's you know, if you have not heard of this, just because it dominated everything. But the Coldplay concert, of course, you had the guy of Astronomer, the CEO of Astronomer, sleeping with his HR manager, I believe.
And they came on the Jumbotron, and just the look of panic in their eye, and they separated real fast.
Right.
It was crazy.
And then it was memed, and then it was, I mean, it was crazy. Well, it exploded in the news, and everybody had a thought on this. And it's the same thing as this. And my question, your question that you wrote down, but sure, my question to you, because I actually was talking with Alyssa about this recently, like, why is it that our country has all of a sudden gained a conscience concerning infidelity? This is a country that allegedly is okay with polyamory, that's okay with LGBTQ, that's okay with porn, that's okay with all sorts of sexual deviancy, and yet we seem to have a conscience when it comes to this. Two huge stories, back-to-back years, that have dominated the headlines, and everybody's going, that's a bad look. You can't do that. You shouldn't cheat. You named a kid after the guy? Like, oh, you can't do that. Everybody is condemning, the same way with Coldplay. Why?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's super interesting that there seems to be pretty universal agreement. There should be, obviously. Like, it goes without saying. Should be universal agreement, but it is surprising in our society.
In today's world.
And in our culture. I'm going to be honest, I don't have a firm answer for this. I think there's a lot of things you could throw out there that might be contributing to it. Obviously, our country, from a you know, Donald Trump's not perfect by any means, but from a regime change standpoint, like, the country is just moving in a different direction than what it was three, 4 years ago. And, you know, as we've talked multiple times before on this podcast about, common sense seems to be coming back into the norm of Gen Z. The vocality of, I think that is the one thing that I'll say, is Gen Z being a lot more vocal online, I do think contributes to a lot of the online discourse pointing to a story like this and going, that's heinous. That, yeah. Like, pre-Gen Z, I don't think that would have been near as heavy. And I'm not sure. Again, I don't want to act like Gen Z or the saviors, but Gen Z seems to have a lot better handle on their common sense and kind of condemning stuff like this than previous generations.
They're also having sex a lot less. So right. The moral high ground has not completely been lost.
Right. So that'd be one angle. Man, the other thought and thing that came to mind for me, Joe, and I'll throw it back to you for your answer on this. The fruits of feminism have been shown to be rotten now for half a decade minimum. So under the old feminism kind of umbrella, what probably would have happened is that Vrabel would have been the one that was super condemned and, I don't know. I don't think it would have gotten the backlash that this did. Now, people don't buy into feminism near as much anymore. There's still plenty of women, of course, that do, but it doesn't have the cultural sway, in my opinion, that it used to.
Yeah.
If it still did, I don't think there'd be as much universal agreement on the fact that this is just awful. Same thing in the Coldplay concert. But now, once again, that feminism doesn't really have that stranglehold on most people anymore. That would be partially my answer as well. What thoughts do you have on that
question? Yeah, I got two different thoughts. Yeah. First off, I think there's a God portion to this. I'll start with the other one, which is, the world doesn't like secrecy. It's interesting. They do and they don't. They want LGBTQ out loud and proud. You know, they want it in the streets. They want it in the open. They want sexual deviancy everywhere. There's something very off-putting to the shameful actions of going to an adult-only resort, of paparazzi having to get these pictures. You've lied to your husband. You've lived a complete secret life. From a human standpoint, all of us are looking at that going, ugh, yeah. That's not great. You know what I mean? You've been lying about this the entire time. And so I think that's one element, is even those that are sexually free, quote unquote, which are sexually deviant, everything's done in the open. They're perfectly fine. They want kinks to be normalized, and they want, you know, all this craziness to be normalized. This isn't normal, and that goes to show they've been sneaking around each other, you know, yeah, their spouse's back. So I think there's an element of that. The real answer, in my opinion, is the fact that God put this on everybody's heart. You don't do that. It's one of the reasons It's the Ten Commandments. I think everybody has a deep down...
So like a conscience thing.
A conscience thing. Yeah. Everybody has a deep down conscience that God put in us that's like...
That's the worst
of
the worst.
Oh, yeah. Man. You can't cheat on somebody that loves you. You can't cheat on somebody you've had kids with. Like, you can't. There are those that are, again, they have no conscience, and so they say you can go cheat. And there's actually a lot of cheating, unfortunately. Infidelity is fairly high statistically. On the other hand, I think they say 1 in 3 marriages will struggle with...
1 in 3?
Yeah, 1 in 3.
Does that include pornography in that, or no?
No, I think that's...
Like physical...
Physical infidelity, 1 in 3. At one point, that may have gone down, especially Gen Z. Again, they're not getting married, they're not having sex, it's skewing statistics and such. So, but in marriage, the infidelity, I mean, at one point it was extremely high. Don't quote me on that, but I'm sure, yeah, I've read that somewhere, so I can try to find that later. Either way, I think everybody has a conscience internally that is given to them by God to say, this is a problem. And that was shown here, and that was shown with the Coldplay concert.
Yeah.
So it comes out that, look, there's also a level of, like, you really feel for their spouses. His wife, Mike Vrabel's wife, has been with him since 1999, 27 years. 27 years.
I was born.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. Like, Will wasn't born when they got married, type of thing, because you were late. You were, yep, December. So chances are, yes, Will was not born when he got married to his wife, and now he's been destroying at least for 6 years. And a lot of times people like this are serial cheaters, so he could have been having it the entire time. I don't know. I don't speak to that. I don't know. But at least for 6 years, we know this has been taking place. Your heart just breaks for somebody like
that.
Same
thing with the Coldplay, you know, couple.
Exactly. As well, yeah. And you know, you've seen him rise from an absolute nobody to leading the Patriots to the Super Bowl, and you've been with him on this entire journey only to have that basically, you know,
go up in flames.
Yeah. Go up in flames. It's just a heartbreaking story.
So, Joe, you just mentioned 1 in 3 marriages statistically.
I'm going to look that. Keep talking. I'm going to look that up, make sure I'm not...
What we wanted to do the rest of this episode, and again, kind of the main portion of this episode we wanted to hit, is how do you adultery-proof your marriage? And I don't love that phrase. I'm the one that came up with it. I was talking to Joe about it beforehand. Can you really adultery-proof it? Kind of what we mean is, like, how can we make our marriages as strong and as repellent of adultery as possible, if that makes sense. So adultery proof was kind of the best phrase that I came up with for that. Because we do think there are ways. We do think there are things you can do. We definitely think there are things you cannot do. That if you're an 18-year-old right now, you can just, again, not that we have all the answers, but write these things down and just commit to never doing them, or commit to doing whatever ones that we have down to do. Do's and don'ts, that is. Ways to kind of adultery-proof your marriage. You got a bit of statistics.
20-25%. So 1 in 4. Okay, 1 still. In 5 to 1 in 4, somewhere around there. Now, some of that's going to be skewed because people on their second and third marriages that are serial cheaters may skew those statistics. Sure. So, you know, full transparency.
But obviously,
it's still a high number.
It's something we need to talk about. And we've had marriage episodes before. We wanted to have one specifically devoted to adultery, infidelity, cheating on your spouse, with this story as kind of the platform springboard from it. So, Joe, let's get into it. We do have eight to get to. The first one is just incredibly obvious. We have to start here. We've talked about it before. It should be a very basic one, but that is, excuse me, never under any circumstances be alone with a woman that isn't your wife. Pretty straightforward. Like, there's not a lot for us to kind of commentate on there. Like, there's just never really any reason for you to ever be alone with a woman that isn't your wife. I'm trying to think of, again, just kind of anecdotes that I have. I had a girl that was like 18 years old, I think, when I was a youth minister, say, hey, I need to talk to you about something. Can I talk to you after church? I was like, yeah, sure, sounds good. And we went to the youth room with my wife right there. Like, it was like, whatever she needs to say to me. And it was a biblical question. There's nothing bad. But I was like, my wife is going to be right here, like in the room with us, because like just stuff like that. And so, Joe, again, I said this didn't take a lot of commentary, and then I commented on it. So I apologize for commented on it. But
they told us this in preaching school.
Thoughts on this first one. Yeah,
they've told us this in preaching school. Do not ever, ever be alone with a woman in your office. And if you have to counsel anybody, glass door, make sure a secretary's there, make sure somebody's there. Like, do not have a door that you can't be seen through. We're not talking just business. Even in business, though, you know, if you were CEO of a company, astronomer, right? I mean, these things happen. And so,
like, just commit that it will just never be an
option. It's just never going to happen. Right. And if you have to, once again, let's say you own a business, you have an employee, somebody needs to be there. Somebody needs to be able to see through the window, you know, so there's somebody always there. Never stay late where it's just you and another person. And this also guards you, even if you're not going to, oh, I would never do that. That's not, first off, you can't say that for sure. You don't know how much he's going to hit on you. You don't know if it's been a tough time. You and your wife are going through some tough times, whatever it is. You just don't know. I'd like to think that's the case. But yeah, I mean, I'd like to think for me, I'm just not going to put myself in there because I don't want to even know where that road leads. Second off, in a Me Too world, you don't know what's going to be accused of you.
Sure.
So it makes sense if a woman, if it's, you know, a woman comes into your office and says, oh yeah, he tried to, you know, tried to do something, tried to molest
me. Your word against hers.
It's your word against hers. Who's going to win? Now, unless you have some cameras or something like that, some security cameras to show that never happened, you could be in deep water and you didn't do anything based off of accusations. You wouldn't be the first that this has happened to. And so just, number one is the most obvious, but it's also the most important. Do not ever, under any circumstance, be alone with a woman that is not your wife. Get us to number two.
No, I was going to let you get us to number two. Sure. I got us to that one.
Number two, acknowledge that your time of having female friends is over. I get this question a lot. Can I still have female friends after I get married? And my answer is like, nope.
Yeah, this is a pretty like kind of firm, harsh thing that we put on there. Like, it's just over. Your time
it's over. Yeah. Once you get married, once you're in a relationship, a committed relationship, your time with the female sex is over, other than that one person. Now, you go, whoa, but I'm not allowed to joke with them. Like, you're allowed to, in a group setting, joke with them. Everybody goes
couples,
bowling.
Couples, friends.
Correct. Yeah, everybody goes exactly, bowling and you're joking. Even with couples, though, you got to be really careful because sometimes there's flirtation back and forth. And the flirtatiousness is kind of like a little off-putting, but people allow it. Oh, they're just friends. You don't know what's happened. Once again, you wouldn't be the first that this happens to, where people behind the scenes are doing stuff. In my opinion, make a strong, firm boundary. Neither you nor I have female friends. There are females I will talk to, sure. Not as a friend, not as a go-to, not as a confidant. And the other thing, let me also speak to this real fast. There's also guys that gravitate toward women more easily. Yeah. Most of the time they have father wounds and they find it a lot easier because they're closer to their mom. You need to work through the father wounds. You need to have really strong relationships with men. You just do. And if you gravitate toward all females because you don't really get along with guys, you need to figure yourself out and start working on building relationships, maybe with some older men at church, some mentors type thing, or finding some guys your age and go join a club of some sort. Go join a boxing gym. Go join a bowling league. Please don't. That's kind of goofy. But, you know, like a basketball team or whatever, to just get better at guy relationships because your time's over.
Yeah, I mean, you'll see these guys that, you know, throughout high school or whatever, they just have a lot of female friends. And there are some, you know, one side of that is it's the sensitive guy who maybe genuinely is friends with all of them, and like none of them see him as a romantic partner or anything like that. And then you have the, you know, kind of, you know, good-looking, attractive, athletic guy that has a lot of female friends because they're a bit of an ego boost because they're all attracted to him, right?
Yep.
And so when you get into a relationship, or specifically a marriage, obviously if that's been your life for 5 or 6 years, it can be kind of hard to turn that off.
No doubt.
It can be kind of hard not to, you know, have those female friendships, like somebody you talk to, somebody you text, whatever it is. And again, this is just a commitment you have to make. Like, no, that time is over. So even if you were, again, just had so many female friends in high school or in your youth group, whatever it is, like, no more. Because all that does is make a breeding ground for jealousy, obviously infidelity, all these things. And so, again, maybe this one is a little bit less basic because it sounds like you get a lot of questions about it. But, yeah, this one, point blank, like, you just are not going to have any more female friends at that point.
It's just, it's so unwise. Yeah. A lot of this is just lack of wisdom.
So, number three. We'll go ahead and get into, and we can't spend a ton of time here. I don't even know what, probably 20 minutes
are. We're 24 minutes. Okay.
I just put be extra cautious of temptation at your workplace. Joe, the reason I thought we need to spend a little time at the workplace here is because there's not a ton of other places where a guy is going to, where a road or a path down to adultery or infidelity is going to start. Yes, there's gyms. You know, obviously, there's stories of guys are, you know, cheating on their wife at the gym or for again, you know, friends or whatever it is. But a lot of times it is going to be the workplace. Yep. And so you just have to be extra cautious. You actually kind of previewed some of this already with point number one. No one-on-one work lunches. Like, yeah, a lot of thoughts here, Joe. I'll let you kind of go first before I kind of get into. I've got an interesting question on here too, but go ahead.
Yeah. The work lunches is big. The flirtatiousness, you got to have a guard up. I know you work around these people all day, every day. You have to have your guard up and realize some people do have sinister intentions. There may be a woman, and look, does it feel good to have a female like you? We're all dudes. Yeah. You know, it feels good.
That's always going to be the case.
Yeah. To get feminine attention. I think that's a normal thing. To act on that, to give in to that, to engage with that to some degree and to flirt back or to have the little jokes or the side jokes or, you know, you see these guys that have like inside jokes with the women that they work with that their wife doesn't know about. It's a disaster.
Yep.
Like, they just do not do that. And so work, I agree with you. Unfortunately, see this at church too. But the reason work is such a big deal is because you're away from your spouse.
And you're there so many hours a week.
Correct. You're there, let's assume, at least 8 hours a day. So 40 hours a week, you're going to be around this person and not around your spouse. At that point, if you factor in sleep and everything else, like, you're around them probably more than your wife.
Yep.
In some ways, you have to be very, very careful that nothing goes beyond this. And that means you're consistent. Where most people go wrong at work is it gets broken down over nobody. Hardly anybody ever goes to work or starts a job with the intention of hooking up with somebody there.
Right.
It is something that it's an emotional affair type of thing where you come. My wife and I are just having a, you know, it's just been a tough time.
Super excited to see her when you walk in.
Correct. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. What's going on? And then you start telling her and yeah, you start getting excited to see her as you're. These things happen to people. And again, I work with this enough, especially specialized in sex addiction. I've worked with, I don't want to say hundreds, but I mean, it's up there in terms of the amount of affairs that I've worked with, people that have been through this. The betrayal trauma is awful. So many times it starts at work where a guy just is letting his guard down and he's getting too chummy with somebody and it goes from there. That's just a disaster.
Yep. Yeah, I had a question on here, Joe, and again, can't spend a ton of time here. What are your thoughts on personal secretaries? Obviously, this is probably not going to be a factor unless you become a very high-powered CEO, you work your way up the corporate ladder and do really well for yourself, which is great if you do. But yeah, you'll have guys that will have a personal secretary that is a woman, might travel with you. Like, I mean, again, it depends on how high up you work the corporate ladder, but like, yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm not a huge fan. If this is going to be the case, it's the same thing as a preacher secretary. She needs to be 80.
She needs
to be, you know, a 60, needs 70, to be a grandmother. 80 year old. Yes, a grandmotherly figure that would never, ever cross your mind type of thing or hers. If you're going to do that. This one, because you spend so much time and you're sharing personal information and everything else, I don't know your thoughts on it, but I
agree. Yeah, I mean, like,
it just can be really, get a guy.
I've never been in a line of work where I would need one, obviously, but yeah, it's just, you're setting yourself up for failure, in my opinion. So don't need to spend a ton of time there. Again, I would imagine, hey, hopefully all you guys, go make $500,000 a year and have to have a secretary, and then you can have to deal with this question. Yeah. But that's probably not often. But yeah,
hey,
I mean,
but we got strive for greatness, right?
That's
we got
right. Guys that that's are right. Hopefully you things. Do. But yeah, find the older one. That's a good one there. The next one that we put on the outline is avoid entertainment content that glorifies infidelity. I don't know that this is quite as popular as it used to be. Not that I frequent any of these shows or anything like that, but there will be shows and movies out there where, you know, it glorifies the adulterous relationship. It doesn't paint it as bad, like, you know, we were talking about earlier, or as yep. awful. It kind of there's some spice to it and some mm-hmm. excitement to it, and so, again, whether it be a TV show, whether it be, you know, movies, I think TV shows are generally the main culprit of this, where adultery is, you know, kind of frowned upon, but also, like, again, it's the exciting thing, and you're kind of rooting for the two of them to get together, even though it's adulterous, and it's like, man, avoid that, because all that's doing is planting seeds in your head that, again, then you go to work with your, you know, go to work the next day with a bunch of 35-year-old, you know, nice-looking women. Just a bad idea. Bad idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
So don't let the seeds get planted.
Same as, like, hookup culture. TV shows, Netflix has a few of these that are just, like, do not ever get close to that. Love Island or whatever. I've never seen it before in my life. But, like, those things where it glorifies hookup culture and just getting with the hottie. What you have to realize is, this goes back to the last one about work. Women showing up to work are going to look their best. They're going to be dolled up all the time. They're going to be in their nice business attire. They're going to be looking good most of the time. If you're working white collar, things like that, you're going to be around women that are really trying, and that's going to be really appealing, because you're going to go home to your wife who's been with the kids all day, and she's, you know, she didn't put on her makeup, and maybe she's in some you know, grubby clothes,
sweatpants
or whatever, and you're going, man, this woman cares about her appearance. My wife never cared. Like, you get into the comparison game, and I think when you look at entertainment like this, where you're just going for the next hot chick, you got to be really, really careful about some of this stuff. So that's number four, avoid entertainment. Number five, read marriage books together. And this is something I added to the outline because I'm a big believer in this, and I know you guys have read some books. I've got a shelf full of books. I'm a big believer in books, but marriage books really help because they give you a different perspective. They give you ideas that you did not run across before. You got to be very careful on some of these because some of the marriage books get into, like, egalitarianism, or they get into feminism, you know, all sorts of stupid stuff. On the other hand, if you're looking for communication books, if you're looking for, like, you know, John Gottman's got some good stuff, John and Julie Gottman, I know I've talked about them before on this. You have, I'm looking at my shelf over here. There's just a ton. Kevin Lehman, you know, The Intimate Connection has a good one. Dr. Julie Slattery has some really good stuff. So it's important, I think, to, when we're talking about affair-proofing your marriage, reading these marriage books together, getting on the same page about what do we want our marriage to look like? Dream together. And I think that's what these books allow you to do, is what do I want our marriage to look like? It's so much more powerful to run to and not away, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes in the affair-proofing, it's like, we think about, well, if my wife would just have more sex with me, that would affair proof it. Like, no, it's really about the relationship, and we're going to get to this. There's another one on the outline that we want to wrap with, so I don't want to overshadow that one. But when it comes to marriage books, man, start working on the marriage to some degree, and that means you're learning new ideas and putting them into practice with each other.
Yep. No, that's great. I don't have a ton to add. Yeah, I'm a big believer in books. Number six, run through it quickly. Don't text other women casually. Obviously somewhat tied to the first one, but, you know, that's where, once again, the emotional affair can start. There's just not really any reason for a married guy to be texting a woman that's not his wife privately, casually. Like, certainly not doing it for fun. Again, inside joke. Like, there's just not really a reason to. Group messages are a thing. All, you know, put your wife on there. I mean, if you got a question to ask about, again, some church event or something, throw your wife on there, or have your wife text her. Like, again, this might seem like kind of a strange one and maybe a less important one compared to all these, but again, this is where some of this stuff starts, is private conversation, emotional connection, and so, like, again, just make a rule. Have your wife on the group chat, just don't text them casually.
If you don't like where that road goes, don't even go down it. And it starts with something as simple as texting. Yep. Number seven.
I love your number seven joke. Get into it, yeah.
Almost completely cut off your access to it.
To adultery, that
is. To adultery. I mean, this is one of those. You have to be 360 approach. You're looking at your marriage going, where are the soft spots? To me, this is really shoring yourself up emotionally for a big part of this, is I know that I'm, you know, I was a porn addict for, we'll talk about that plenty, where I was a porn addict for 10 years. I know that I run to sex for, you know, to fulfill my needs. At least I did for a long period. I know that about myself. I know that that is something I need to be very aware of. When we talk about cutting access off to it, you have to take the 360 approach and understand, what are the weak points in my marriage? What are the things I need to work on? You know, and this goes with women that I might be more attracted with. That goes to understanding my, you know, my personal struggles, my personal tendencies. I mean, I think there's a lot that kind of goes into specifically cutting off access to it. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, you talked about, I mean, because some of it ties into what we already talked about just not ever being in those situations. But you talked about kind of like, man, if you're not with your spouse, you're still talking to your spouse.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You're on the phone with her.
Yeah, that's right.
You are kind of... Again, neither one of us have to travel a ton for work, and this is obviously compounded from a difficulty standpoint if you have to travel a lot for work. But yeah, like, just don't give yourself any access to it by staying in touch with your wife all day. I mean, there'll be Gen X couples that I know that, like, don't text each other all day long.
Oh, yeah.
Like, literally don't hear from each other. It's like, well, you're giving yourself a lot of access to have other people step into your life. I believe in husbands and wives kind of having their own hobbies. I think that's healthy. We like to golf. Our wives don't join us for that. My wife, you know, she doesn't have a ton of hobbies. If she's listening, she'd be like, I don't have any hobbies. You get to play golf. But she'll go to the gym and stuff, actually with your sister sometimes. Sure. And, you know, so that's fine. But if you're spending a ton of time away from your spouse, like 10, 12 hours a week, maybe you're golfing 3-4 times a week, or you're out with the boys or whatever, like, you're just giving yourself more access to, that's kind of where my mind went.
I had forgotten what I had said. So yes, that's teeing me up. Yeah. Thank you. My wife and I talk all the time. If I'm going to the store 10 minutes away, I'm on the phone with her. Like, it's probably to the unhealthy point, you know,
codependency.
We've talked about it before. Like, are we codependent? Like, maybe, I don't know. But we just enjoy talking to each other, and we never run out of things to talk about. And so if I'm out and about, like, I want to talk with my wife. After golf, we golfed on Friday. And after golf, I had an hour-long ride home. Guess who I'm on the phone to?
Yeah.
I was even texting her on the way in. It was really early. She happened to get up early and was doing her own stuff, workouts and things like that. We were texting on the way in. And, I mean, there's never a time where I'm not. I have done travel where I've been gone for a week or whatever, been gone for 3 days without her. I'm calling her all the time. I'm FaceTiming her. She sees the hotels. Like, it's just, and it's not even, my wife is not afraid of me cheating on her. It's not like, hey, do you see there's no woman here?
Right, yeah.
It has nothing to do with that. It's like, I just want to see you. You're going to be the last face that I see, the last thing before I shut off the light. And I miss you because I'm used to just snuggling with my wife in bed. That's what we're talking about. So when we talk about cutting off access, it's like turn up the warmth in your marriage to where that's not even a thought. I'm so busy talking with my wife. Yeah. When would I ever do that? And it's the same thing with my wife. I'm out here in my, you know, in my office. She's in there with four kids. When is she going to cheat? And when am I going to cheat? Like, yes, we happen to be able to have that workout. And a lot of people don't have that. I know that they go to work, but it's like when you're structured and regimented and you're not kind of doing all sorts of crazy stuff and out all the time, it does change. And it just allows for, but that gets us to number eight, Will. And so I want to tee you off on this. Number eight is put the work into your own marriage. As I said earlier, I didn't want to trample on this. We wanted to end on this point. Because I think this is the most important thing when we talk about running to and not away. We're not just trying to fair-proof our marriage. We're trying to make great marriages where affairs are like, what? We would never even think of something like that. And that starts with this, putting the work into
your own. Is it safe to say, Joe, that virtually every affair starts, or basically every affair starts when your marriage is in a suboptimal place? Like, is that fair to say? Like, very rarely
95%
is great communication, just gets along amazing, marriage going to spiral into an affair. Again, I'm sure it has happened, but my point is, most of the time that's going to start when your marriage is in a suboptimal place. Right. You're not communicating well, maybe the sex life isn't great, you know, maybe you're yelling at each other. Like, that's generally when it starts. And so, yeah, this last one, put the work into your own marriage. This is where those marriage books and communicate, work on your communication skills with each other, and be ready and willing to admit when you've made a mistake. And, like, there's a grass is greener element to, obviously, affairs and adultery. Like, man, that grass sure looks good over there. It's like, well, if you'd water your own grass, that grass would look greener.
Right.
And so I know that's kind of a cliche, but, like, I think this is the number one way to affair-proof your marriage, is to put the work into your own marriage.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it be, again, you're talking a lot, you're really just, you have goals, obviously, that's a big push for us. Goals together that you work towards together. You've got a financial plan for your family that you and your wife are working towards. You've got, you know, date nights and stuff. Like, there's a million things we can talk about here, but putting the work into your own marriage will, again, kind of leave almost zero room for adultery to take place.
Yes. Yeah. Both of us, I would say, I don't want to speak for you, but I think you got a really good marriage.
Yes.
You know, I've got a very good marriage. And I say that not to boast at all. My marriage is probably the first, like the number one thing that I put time and effort into in my life. I have goals. I have business goals. You know, I own my own business. I got kids, four kids. I got a lot of things going on. My marriage is my number one thing that gets the most time and attention because I want it to be very good. Because I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, my wife is as close to me as anybody else can possibly ever get. And the intimacy is truly there. And so, once again, the idea of an affair is so bananas. It is so out there. It is so, like, I would trust my wife with my life. The only way you get there is by putting significant amount of time into your own marriage, significant amount of work.
Investment. And to marry the right person.
Do not marry somebody that is not going to invest in the marriage as much as you do.
Yeah.
Because you may be pushing and pushing and pushing, and if they're feminists, that they don't care about that, or if they have their own issues where they, you know, secure attachment just can't be created, where they are always pushing back on things, you're going to have a really tough time. So choose, if you are not married, choose well. If you are married, water your grass, as you said. Put as much time and effort and focus and attention into the marriage as possible. Yes, that's reading the books. Yes, that's picking up the rug and pulling out everything that you have swept underneath the rug and hitting every elephant in the room and going, we have to work through these things because it's worth it.
Yeah.
And this is not just to fair-proof your marriage. We want every godly young man having fantastic marriages because that's what's going to change the world. It was the pinnacle of God's creation. We have an opportunity to get back to garden-like living, the Garden of Eden, where it's beautiful, it's perfect, naked and unashamed. That's what we're driving toward. And in chapter 3, naked and ashamed, which is infidelity, right? There's a shame element to it. Mm. Man, we can eradicate that out of our marriages. And man, I get excited talking about marriage.
That's a great way to wrap. I'm not going to add anything else to it. We appreciate it. We know we've gone long here. It's really important. It's crazy important. And so, yeah, write these things down. I'll stop talking because Joe wrapped us up really well. This has been episode 169 of the Godly Young Men podcast. As we said at the start, join our Discord. Link is in the description. Like, subscribe to our YouTube channel and to the podcast feed. And we'll be back next week. Appreciate you listening.